Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a look at health and nutrition in our modern world, and it's not pretty. Joining me on this quest, I have a formidable panel, the husband and wife research and writing team of Manny Barling and Ashley Brooks. Manny and Ashley, welcome to the program.
Hello to all our listeners.
Hello.
So I hear that it's been a little warm in L.A. this week. I heard 113 degrees warm.
Yeah, oddly enough, it was that warm in downtown Los Angeles. Usually where we live in the San Fernando Valley is 7 degrees warmer. This time, we were cooler than downtown, and all of us were actually chuckling about it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, even though we're in the same city, we all have our feelings about downtown areas. I'm sure people live in the outskirts of New Orleans kind of look in downtown New Orleans and chuckle sometimes.
Right. I had wanted to start the program off with a Gulf region update, seeing as, you know, we've been covering it for several weeks. However, due to illness, neither Joni Hughes nor Kendra Arneson, our wonderful correspondents from the area, are available. In fact, I believe Joni is currently in hospital. Ashley, I'm gonna pick on you just because I like you. I don't think it's appropriate to discuss Joni's medical issue, but I did forward you the email that I received from her. We've heard her coughing and wheezing on this program. Do you think the toxins in the Gulf region are a contributing factor to her current situation?
I absolutely do. Because as she said on the show or the couple weeks back that she has MS, or her friend had said it on the show, one of the two had said that, so I feel it's safe to say that on the show. And with MS, it's a central nervous system illness, and it also is inflammation. And the Corexo 9500 attacks the central nervous system. So to say the two of them, you know, I mean, it's obvious that it would have to be that started the whole process with her current condition, which we're not discussing, but it's, you know, it's part of her illness.
The other thought, too, on that is that anyone who has a predisposition for any of these, MS, Parkinson's, Hodgkin's disease, I'm missing a couple, but if you have this predisposition genetically, these chemicals hit that predisposition, they aggravate it, and frequently people who have these illnesses either come out of remission or it just aggravates their levels.
And she's extremely vulnerable in the central nervous system because of the lack of the myelin sheath around those nerves. So the Corexo has just, you know, attacked her central nervous system, which is what it does. And I would guess or hope that anybody in that area who has the wheezing, I'm going to say it again, please go get blood tests. And when the blood tests are done, please get toxicology done, because they should be treating these, or not treating, but should be examining this from a treatment. I would imagine the doctors need to know this needs to be done.
Yeah, and throw in the fact that if someone at the age of an adult or a parent is having problems handling these chemicals, that means the children whose brains aren't completely developed from toddler on up are more susceptible to these chemicals than adults are, particularly infants and young children, because their minds and brains, I should say, their brains have not developed to a point where they have the complete protective devices an adult has. So they're even more susceptible than an adult.
And that myelin sheath continues to develop up through 3 years of age and sometimes longer, but it's developing the whole neurological system within children. So from the gestation or the start of the pregnancy on, they're extremely vulnerable. So, and there's CDC also put out a program, which I'm asking, please, anybody in that area that is pregnant to go into the internet, look at the CDC, and check out what they are saying about being around these toxins. They're saying to avoid it completely.
Yeah. Well, before we move to pregnancy, let's come back and take a look at the other part. Basically, the myelin sheath is almost like the protective wrapping around the cord, electrical cord that you plug in the wall. As the baby matures and it starts during the fetus, it starts to grow the sheath that would be also like protecting, electrical wires in the telephones. And it builds stronger and stronger, so the flashes your brain sends to muscles and other organs are protected. When that sheath wears down, the chemicals penetrate it and interfere with the firings of your brain that send these important messages to your organs, muscles, etc., and that's what contributes the breakdown that leads to all these illnesses that we're discussing. And the word I was looking for were fiber optic telephone cables, which if they aren't protected and wrapped in a certain way, then, of course, the optical sensation that includes your telephone call gets messed up and you get static. Well, you can make the same analogy when your brain sends something to your heart or some other organ. If your sheath is damaged or it's porous, then it causes static and the message isn't clear, which causes dysfunction. Hi, Bill there, Simon. Did we put you to sleep?
Absolutely not. I mean, the one thing I enjoy about engaging in conversation with the pair of you is that I spend a good deal of time preparing for the show, and inevitably you beat me to the punchline.
Well, we rehearsed all day yesterday to put you in a spot.
Right, to put you to sleep.
Now, what I was going to say, and in some ways you've already mentioned it, I view toxins to be somewhat akin to viruses, whether it be the flu or some other virus, in that they tend to hit the very young and the very old. Do you have any advice for people with young children in the area?
Well, first, I think it hits not only the very young, the very old, but the very susceptible in between, which includes people who have jobs that make them more susceptible, people with a genetic background or someone who may hurt their back or, let's say, for example, fracture a bone. And wherever you've had an injury, the spot of that injury makes you more susceptible to problems. I compare this, Simon, and if I could diverse for a moment, to more like someone being bitten by a poisonous snake, because your body creates a virus unless you catch it from somebody. But chemicals are like injecting poison, or the classic scene in a murder movie where someone injects the patient in the hospital with a killer, poison that kills them while they're laying there with an IV. But once this poison, whether it's introduced either through the mouth, someone who swallows the poison, or in my example, being bitten by a snake, that is now a foreign compound that runs through the body and looks for the weakest possible organ or spot to attack and affect it. And I think that is the biggest problem. So when you look at children and use the same analogy, if your child ingests even a small amount of poison, oh my God, I can tell you as a parent, there's nothing more frightening. And there's no quicker trip to the hospital or greater concern. But if the same adult or another member of the family consumed the same amount of poison as that child, you'd probably drive a lot slower and worry a lot less, unless it were, cyanide, arsenic, or one of the really big ones. So the weight and size of the child is a factor, their development, how well their organs have developed, how well the parts of the brain developed to protect them. So when you look at your child and children in general, you have to evaluate their age and evaluate their susceptibility to whether it's chemicals or any other poison. And that includes environment. In the Rust Belt, the sulfur-emitting plants are certainly young children more vulnerable to that than, say, adults are, although in the end, I think they're both severely harmed. So if you have a child, you have to be very careful about its environment. The first environment parents consider, and I'm speaking as a parent right now, is the safety of your child, whether it's vehicle traffic, what you learn in law school, or dangerous situations like railroad tracks, abandoned buildings and things like that. And then you start going, well, the next thing is, what are you handing my child? They're being poisoned, or is it Halloween and someone's giving them rotten food? You think of all of that, but you get up every day, and if you do all those different protections, people then forget, well, what's in my food, what's in my water, and what's in my air? And this recent green movement and movement towards a better environment, environmental medicine, is exactly addressing that issue. For years, people didn't consider that very much, except those people who moved. In my case, my father had asthma problems, and he left London and moved to Southern California for the dry weather because he just could not live in foggy London town. And in the old days, those were the motivations for people to leave. Now, and of course, Chernobyl is a great example, or you had a nuclear disaster, no one wanted to live 1,000 miles. But people just cannot get up and move 5 or 10 million people to another location in the United States. And New Orleans has to stand up and fight these issues and everybody in the Gulf to protect their children, everyone around it, because these children now every day walking out the door, breathe things they shouldn't breathe. Every time they eat something they shouldn't eat. And that exposes them to great danger. Do you have anything to add, Ashley?
Well, I was going to say that our whole thing with our books are talking about the food and the impact of the food. So if you have chemicals you have chemicals in the air, because I can hear it in their voices when they speak, the people speak, and it's affecting them in their, they have inflammation, and the only way you can bring inflammation down, it starts with everything you put in your mouth, in addition to taking enzymes and finding ways to bring down the inflammation. So it's building up the immune system and keeping the immune system built. It's like your analogy with the virus. If your immune system's up, you're not going to get the flu. So in this case, the continual exposure, one of the areas that poison attacks is the liver, is the kidneys. And the irony is that in your foods, your everyday packaged foods, which contain GMO and MSG and all the toxins, a lot of toxins all attack those same areas. So it's very, very important at this time to make sure that they take and ingest the correct foods and take the right amount of vitamins and the right amount of enzymes.
So, okay, I'm going to move on. What about pregnant women? Are there unborn children at risk? And before you answer, I'm going to tell you a story. I reviewed a book about a year or so ago. I have one of those horribly inquiring minds, and it was about a very rare type of cancer, that there are something like 3,000 new cases of mesothelioma diagnosed each year. The only known cause for mesothelioma is exposure to asbestos. But it can take anywhere from 20 to 40 or more years for the cancer to become active. In the Gulf, we're seeing problems now with upper respiratory issues that are aggravating pre-existing conditions. Do you think we're in for, you know, other long-term problems that are just waiting to surface, you know, particularly with the unborn children?
Well, I don't have a magic ball to answer that, because you can't, you know, to project into the future. But the one thing that is known about the Corexo 9500 is there is a 15, and benzene, which was a lot of benzene was in the air, which is from the oil, the off crap that comes from the oil. And it does absolutely affect people and can cause cancer up to, you know, 15 to 20 years. Not to frighten people, but it makes you absolutely have to start immediately making changes in food and taking enzymes and things to help build up the body.
Hey, I want to address the first part of your question. One of the things you learn in the practice of law is these type of problems, and I spent a lot of time involved with mesothelioma cases, and my good friend Edward Masry of Aaron Brockovich fame specialized in some of those areas. So I've listened to this for about 30 years. I had a relative who worked in the shipyards while he was in the Navy in World War II die at the age of 72 of mesothelioma. So it took it 50 years for it to kill him. But what happens is we're back to susceptibility. The weakest among people are the ones who experience health problems first, and then it sort of trickles down in almost in direct proportion to the various genetic and other issues, environment, the amount of chemicals. And at the end of the scale are those people we know who can usually resist everything. They're the ones who can eat anything in the market, and they never gain a pound, and nothing seems to bother them. Well, that was my relative who died, who remained thin, never gained an ounce of weight, was in perfect health. Well, it snuck up on him, too. One of the problems I have with the benzene and other studies, benzene, by the way, is a byproduct of gasoline, or was for years, that they took out in almost every state that I'm aware of because people could pump gas, inhale the benzene coming out of the fumes of pumping their gas, and it led to cancer. Well, now the benzene is freed in the air as a result of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig explosion, so now it's sort of raining on people instead of emanating out of the gas tank. So the tests that they run on benzene started primarily after the Exxon Valdez, which coincidentally is 15, 16 years ago, and that population in Alaska has experienced terrible problems with cancer and other diseases. But those who haven't may be equally susceptible in 10 years or 15 years like the mesothelioma. So I believe that even 25 years is a short time. I think once you ingest a significant amount of these chemicals, unless enzymes and the food you're eating, better quality air and other things cause you to get rid of these chemicals or help your body heal, then everybody's on a personal time schedule with some kind of confrontation, whether it's a very small physical confrontation or a more serious one because of these chemicals.
What would your advice be to women that are pregnant in the Gulf region?
First of all, I think they should wear the type of surgical masks that people wear on airplanes when they're out shopping. And I think the next thing they should do is go to a completely organic diet, including taking enzymes, which would help break down some of these chemicals in their body and protect them from potential illnesses and safeguard their fetus during development. But
they need to talk to their doctor about that.
Well, yes.
Exactly.
And
their doctor's
and
advice.
They need to take all these different suggestions, which is where I was going. Thank you, Ashley. Write them all down and create a plan during their pregnancy and then take it to the doctor and discuss the plan and see what he wants to include in that plan, vitamins, minerals, and other things, and put together a plan, put it up on the refrigerator, and live by it very carefully. But I still think that in certain types of weather, for instance, in the rain for the time being, they should probably not go out in the rain because of the high acid content. They should look for filtered water or drink bottled water during their pregnancy, preferably one from a natural source, not the Dashani's and other tap water. But if you want to drink tap water, you don't have to pay $2 a bottle for it. You can go drink it out of your tap. But by improving your water sources, improving your food sources, improving the areas in which you breathe, even the slightest improvement will have health benefits. And the more you do, is the better your health will be and the better the health will be of your fetus. And by the way, this advice applies to women all over the United States who are pregnant because any step you take towards improving any of these categories gives you a healthy child. And the single most important thing in every parent's life is that moment that child is born and the doctor looks at you and says your child is healthy. And I can tell you I've done it twice, and it haunted me the whole pregnancy. I worried about him. And when the doctor told me that, I breathed a sigh of relief like every other parent in this country. So those are my thoughts. How about you, Ashley?
One of the things that Kindred was talking about was her friend with asthma, which really concerned me. And that, I think, spawned these conversations with talking about pregnancy. And she had, with her asthma being kicked up, she really should absolutely, as Manny said, put the mask on when she goes outside, but she really should limit any going out outside, because it seems like that Corexo and the air in that area is just filled with toxins still in it, and it's just not worth even a day of causing any harm during the development of her baby. And the baby has 40 weeks, just 40 weeks of growth time, and handling of that is she needs to protect that child as much as she can, which I'm sure she is. But the doctors hopefully are running toxicology blood tests during like her asthmatic attack, just to make sure that there is any level of ethylene or any of other toxins that come from these byproducts. So that would be the only thing that I could say. And then, of course, CDC has written up a program which is available on the Internet.
Do you happen to have the link for the CDC site?
You know, it's on the other end of the house with the cat. I'm in here pacing going, where is it? So,
Ash will provide it, and maybe it will encourage our listeners to read one of your post-interview
articles
and get the information.
Yes, I will definitely supply that.
Actually, I'm going to change the subject up just a little bit. Manny, I'm sure you will get a huge kick out of this. Plaquemine Parish official, it wasn't the parish president, I believe it was the head council member whose name escapes me, finally snapped. He'd had enough with BP and the federal government. So he sat down at his personal computer and created two form letters, which were generic claim letters, saying, look, I may not obtain my living from the sea, but the sea is how I live. I fish. And without that fish on my dining table, my family has nothing to eat. So I would like you to send me, there's a spot where you can plug in the amount of dollars and ship it off. Well, I was watching CNN, and they actually managed to kind of sort of pick this up. That they interviewed a BP official who said, oh, this is outrageous. We've had 4,000 of these claims come in, and we're obviously not going to pay them.
That's hysterical. But, you know, if everybody in the entire Gulf area picked a day next Tuesday and everybody spent 44 cents, whatever the current price of a stamp is, and an envelope, and wrote a letter and sent the White House what I would estimate to be a 500,000 letters, you'd be amazed exactly what would happen. And if they spent another 44 cents and sent 500,000 letters to NBC and another 44 cents for about $5, you could bomb NBC, ABC, CBS, and the President of the United States with more than 500,000 letters each, and I think that would cause quite a reaction personally. It's probably the cheapest form of protest you can do.
Oh, I like that idea. Even cheaper, send an email.
Well, but sometimes that's maybe cheaper, but it's not more effective. There's something like the mailman arriving with 20, 30 bags of mail 3 or 4 days in a row and unloading them at the White House that gets attention. And the same would be true having spent time in all three of those networks. The mail room is not big enough for the mail that would arrive, and it would cause quite a stir. But anyway, those are the things that, and I wish someone would adopt this. If I lived in New Orleans, I would be on the air right now begging people, picking a date. I'd even throw the side on state picnics and pick one day a month, and the whole state close down and protest and send, 2 or 3 million emails to all these different sources and get out there with placards and get some national attention. And nothing would hurt BP more than that.
One of the things that becomes a little confusing to me, though, and because you're in this area, is anytime you turn on the CNN or you turn on even, I went to the CDC pregnancy site just now, and you turn on any of these, they keep saying, we tested the area, it's very low, there's nothing in the air, but yet continually when we speak to someone from your area, they have the cough, they have the irritation, or they have asthma, or like Joanna is, hospitalized because her MS has been activated, which says there's a highly toxic amount in the air. So which is it?
Right. What hasn't been publicized because the mainstream media doesn't want to run with it is the fact that independent tests are showing a different story from what the federal tests are showing.
Do you know if Joanna got any of those tests back, Simon?
I haven't been able to get any of the data because they're all sick.
Yeah, see?
And, in case they're listening or their friends are, I wish somebody would send them our very best and our concerns for them. We wish them a speedy recovery, and I can't wait to hear their smiling voices again.
Absolutely. I feel horrible for Joanna. I sat and cried when I saw your email. It's just so, it just should not be happening, and she should not have been put into the position where she had to go out into this area at all. That was, and the amount of exposure that caused her to be so sick.
Oh, I agree. Hopefully, they will be feeling better next week, and we will have them on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to our other topic. I like food. I'm a big fan of food. It's one of the things I like to do. Not only do I like to eat it, but I like to talk about it. So what I'd like to do is talk about what's in our food that isn't actually food. You can pick up any box or can in your local Mega Mart, and if you read the list of ingredients, it's just mind-boggling and in many ways very deceptive. I still want to know what natural flavoring is.
Natural flavoring is anything you want it to be. They sit in the lab, they mix up all these synthetic flavors. In some cases, it takes as many as 200 esters, which are synthetic.
Or more.
And some natural flavoring chemicals taken from plants, and they mix them together, and they stir up a little witch's brew to come up with a flavor. So that natural flavoring is sort of a catch-all for a combination of any more than one of the 14,000 potential chemicals together. So if you have a can of beans that says natural flavoring, it may contain 200 different chemicals, and if you have a can of, let's say, pears and sugar, it may have 300 different chemicals that may be completely different or maybe even first cousins to the ones in the beans. You don't know. But at the end of the day, everything you buy in that store has some level of chemicals. And through in one of our books, I take a can of beans and I break it down, something like this. The beans in the can are genetically modified. The liquid in the can is high fructose corn syrup, which is a chemical mixture of corn. They put it and they boil it, and then when the froth comes up, they scoop it up and they dry it into powder and they use it. And I swear I'm talking about a crystal meth lab when I was a lawyer, but that's exactly how it is. I mean, it's a first cousin to crystal meth. And like crystal meth, it penetrates your brain and it affects your brain functions. But then, of course, they've got to put natural flavoring and all these other spices. Well, what are those? Well, we know they're MSG, maltodextrin, which is, again, a synthetic form of sugar made from corn that has 14% of MSG. So you're getting a double whammy of MSG, and you start going down the list, and all these various ones you see on the can, every one of them contain MSG. And I have a few of them in front of me that might interest you.
Before you head there, I mean, once again, you're beating me to the punchline, Manny.
Okay.
Boy, you're good.
Great minds think alike, Simon.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of MSG? I mean, as I recall, it was a relatively unknown and insignificant substance in the early 1960s.
Well, let's go farther back in the history. In China and Japan and other Asian countries, they were making something, a natural version from seaweed. And when I say a version, they were looking for a taste enhancer to make their food more appetizing, which, of course, goes back to Christopher Columbus, who really wasn't looking for gold. He was looking for better spices for Europe. So at the end of the day, somewhere around 1909, a Japanese scientist, I think his name is Akita, if I can pronounce it correctly, came up with a form that he called, you know, glutamate, which he derived from wheat and from seaweed, and he formed a patent on this, and they then refined it into a chemical called monosodium glutamate. In other words, they took the natural glutamate, which is in some foods, added salt to it and created one, and then they went from this natural process to a synthetic one. In fact, the Japanese company Ajinomoto, who is the father of MSG, he worked for and helped create, and they hold the patent originally. So throughout the years, it was used, manufactured from wheat in various forms and in food. And at some point, someone found a way, like all things in business, to create a synthetic form. And then it became a combination of wheat or soil, most of them genetically modified eventually, but at that time, natural wheat and soil. And they cooked it up again and created this MSG. Well, when they switched to the more synthetic one, it became a problem. And then in the middle 50s, by the way, they thought MSG was so wonderful, they started testing it on children to see if it would get rid of autism and other mental disorders, and they found it made children worse, which started the first real test of MSG. And then they started to find out, oh, my goodness, this is really dangerous. So now we get to the 1960s, and people go to their favorite Chinese restaurant, and they walk out, they get faint, they get sick, they start passing out, their heart starts pounding like they're going to have a heart attack, and everybody goes crazy, so they call it the Chinese restaurant syndrome. And, of course, the industry, who was only selling £1 million of it at the time, said, oh, goodness, we'll take it out if it upsets everybody. So in 1970 or 71, they started pulling it out of foods, particularly baby foods. I love to use this as an example. And they take it off the label. They swear they'd taken out, and the next day they put soy products and yeast extract into the baby food, which contains the same amount of MSG that it had on the label about a month before. So they didn't miss a beat.
While putting on the label, no MSG.
Right. So all these products that people see that say no MSG, it's not true. There's MSG in all these different substances. In fact, I have a list in front of me of about 147 of them.
The government has approved some of the products because glutamate is actually an amino acid, and it's what they call a normal neurotransmitter in the brain. So essentially, it helps to transmit like a radio wave to help stimulate the transmission of messages in the body. So glutamate is a good thing. But the problem is you only need 8 to 10 UMs, which is a little microscopic amount in the entire body. UG is a microscopic amount in the body. And the MSG that's going into the food, over accumulation of all this MSG in all the food, is overstimulation for the brain and the neurological system.
I know, honey, and you've got a different shade between I love it when I call my wife honey on the air. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but you have to differentiate between the natural product, which you can get out of mushrooms and tomatoes, versus someone who's taking a shortcut and cooking it up in a lab. So if you eat all the mushrooms and all the tomatoes and other things that you want at one time, you're going to get a modest amount of glutamate out of it. But why do that when you can buy it and throw it in the food and you can spike your food and everybody gets a full dose of it?
And high concentrations of the of this particular MSG that is in all of the food, it causes the cells to undergo a specialized process which delays cell death. And that's why they call them excitotoxins. And it actually is exciting the cells to death.
Yeah, but it isn't delaying the death, honey. It accelerates and causes
right.
cell death in the brain.
Right.
So if you look at a product that has maltodextrin, that has MSG. That's exciting your brain. If you have yeast extract, all these other things, barley, malt, beef broth is in it, bouillon, they all have MSG. So at the end of the day, you take a look at a simple product. If it has, 8 ounces of fluid in it, it may have a full ounce of MSG in there. You don't know because they will not tell you, and everybody has to guess. But let's skip to why. Let's talk for a moment here.
Let me interject. In the 1960s, early 60s, I believe that the U.S. production of MSG was about £1 million per year. Right now, it's, 400 million pounds?
Yeah, actually, it's closer to 440 in 2008, but we've seen various numbers. We approximated in our book is over 400 million.
Yeah, I've seen as much as 550,000. I mean, there's million pounds.
I have not seen a number below 400 million, so we picked a conservative number. But, when you start talking about the number of Americans in this country at 400 million, that's over a pound or so a year for everybody. We believe the number is significantly higher because I don't believe that they're being forthright about the amount of MSG that's going into things.
And there's an association called the Glutamate Association and when you actually look at who's in the Glutamate Association, it's the actual producers of the food that are putting the MSG in the food. So, of course, they're all going to the FDA saying, ooh, this MSG is safe. Well, of course, because they're the benefactors of the thing, But they ignore the fact that of the tests that were done actually in 1957 by Lucas and Newhouse and then again by Olney, and they exposed the fact that animals being tested were grossly obese, short in stature. They also had problems in the pituitary, thyroid, and adrenal glands as well as reproduction. And the worst attacking area this is in the hypothalamus, which of course is your appetite center.
And I want to come back to something Ashley said. All these associations, you'll see their names running ads, and if you go on the Internet, you can go to their sites, and they tell you all this food information. They're owned by the 50 top manufacturers in the country, mostly by the top 10, what we call big food. And I'm going to run some names by it, because these people tell you what you can eat and what you can't eat, and they tell you how good it is, but they're owned by the people who are selling you the crap. The Groceries Manufacturers Association, okay, National Turkey Federation. You would think that would be a good thing, but no, it's the industry trying to sell turkeys that are pumped up on chemicals. Canned Food Alliance, International Cocoa Organization. How about the International Dairy, Deli, and Baking Association? In Canada, they go by the Canadian Health Food Association. Do you really believe these companies selling MSG care about health foods? American Meat Institute, the American Pie Council, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. These are all, industry-run companies putting out deceptive information trying to get you to buy the product. National milk producers. How can you trust a national milk producer if he's telling you the garbage about food when it's not the truth?
Now, I was stunned when we read that low-fat milk and no-fat milk also has MSG in it, obviously because it has no taste. So you have to use MSG to trick the brain into thinking, oh, it has a taste.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, this list is so long, I'm not going to bore everybody reading it, but, I mean, it's pages
worth.
And guess what? When you figure it out, if they're listening to the show, they'll go form some new ones to make sure that, you know, you don't know what the next one is. And that's what they do. They just keep doing this, keep bombing you with advertisements that are deceptive and sometimes not true. I mean, it goes on forever and ever.
And
you mentioned earlier that one of the ways that we're tricked is by hiding MSG within other ingredients, so it doesn't need to appear on the ingredient list.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me throw some chart one of one our next book coming up. It's Not Your Fault, about weight gain, obesity, and food addiction, has the actual list. Let me hit some that I find interesting.
That we know of.
Yes, that we know. How about simple things like caramel covering, caramel flavoring? Who would think there would be in that? Chicken flavoring. Equal, the sweetener contains MSG, which is horrible. I mean, those are ones that would leap up at you. How about chicken broth? Every time you buy a can of chicken broth to cook with, it has MSG in it. Beef broth, too. Even things like brown rice syrup, aspartame, which is in soft drinks, has MSG in it. Any word that starts with hydrolyzed on your can has MSG in it. They make hydrolyzed oats, plants, protein, soy, wheat, they're all that. Malted barley flour, why would you put MSG in flour? I don't have no idea. Malt extract, malt flavoring. It isn't malt extract or flavoring. It's MSG flavoring. Natural beef flavoring. All of these things. Even NutraSweet has MSG in it. Pectin, which is supposedly from an apple and a wonderful enzyme, they spike that with MSG, as well as protease, which comes from pineapples and other things. Every form of soy extract, isolate, protein, soy sauce extract, soy lecithin, soy protein, all have MSG. All these vegetable bouillons, broth, vegetable gum, vegetable oil, all have MSG in it. And you can go, anything that says vitamin-rich has MSG in it. The wheat proteins, the whey proteins, the yeast extracts, all of them. Anything that has any of those words, and as I said, there are 147 listed that we've found so far. So when you look at a label and it says wheat extract, maltodextrin, which should be on this list.
Now, do you see that on labels, Simon, and think, oh, this is safe because it's in everything? Because that's how I was viewing it.
Right.
You know? And the worst part for me, Simon, is I think, oh, it's soy protein. Oh, doctors say soy is healthy for me. It's protein. I must need this. So what they're doing is they're taking this junk of soy, and which they claim has protein and is a GMO. They take the junk, they throw it in a vat of acid to break it down, and then the scum they skim off the top, they dry out, and that's what goes into your food.
Boy, that's unappetizing. That does sound appetizing.
Let me have some scum for dinner because I'll trick my brain into, hey, I could be a good cook with it too.
You know, and we recently had discussed with you about Coca-Cola, how it's basically 4 ounces of sugar sweeteners, 1 ounce of flavor, and 7 ounces of tap water. Well, you take the can of beans, pumpkin, anything, and you got the same thing. A couple ounces of genetically modified fruit or vegetable, and about 6 ounces of tap water, high fructose corn syrup, and a couple ounces of MSG, maltodextrin, all these other various chemicals in it, and you shake it up. And by the way, those wax-lined cans, they have BPA, which is a dangerous toxin.
Carcinogen.
It's a carcinogen, and it causes cancer. So you take a look at them, and if people call cigarettes cancer sticks, I think I'm going to start calling these cancer cans, which I hadn't thought of before today, but they are. Every time someone takes a can of that, it's like smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, this one got me, too. MSG is controlled by the Bioterrorism Act of 2002. Excuse me? Okay, that makes me feel real comfortable with what's in my food.
I put a comment in the book that Ashley crossed out and told me I shouldn't put in the book that basically asked the question of, if MSG is so dangerous, it has to be protected from terrorists. What happens if a terrorist steals a 10-pound bag and throws it into the river that feeds all of the water to New Orleans? Are they all going to fall over and die like a movie? But Ashley says, no, you can't put that in.
No, Simon, don't laugh, because then he'll put it back in the book. We're having a writer dispute over that one line.
Okay, I just had a question asked in the chat room, and it's how long does MSG stay in your body? You know, if you wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going on a MSG-free deal, how long?
Well, nobody knows the answer to that. I'll give you an example. This is my answer, which has not been scientifically proved. There's a form of Alzheimer's called Lewy body disease, spelled L-E-W-Y. I would know nothing about it. Actually, L-E-W-E-Y. I would know nothing about it except a friend of mine died a year ago on September 16th. He's still in my mind. And he had so much MSG and other things over his lifetime. These chemicals formed in his brain, the type of plaque that we associate with eating too much carbohydrates and plaque in our heart. And that plaque in his brain caused him to fall into a form of Alzheimer's where he lost his memory, died at 83 years old, a wonderful human being. And that was the effect of MSG and all these other types of things. So if you eat enough of it long enough, it can cause Alzheimer's, but in the short run, the tests that we've seen involving rats and other things is they killed the animals faster than you can determine how long they last in them. So a rat on MSG for a few weeks is going to die. So they haven't been able to do any long-term testing, and of course the industry doesn't want long-term testing. So the likelihood of having a scientific answer to that question in opposition to the huge political might of the food business is unlikely anyone will ever do the test.
But one of the things all I can do is talk about my experience of going off MSG, because I didn't know this was in all this food. And when I went off MSG, it took me a year of organic, a year of doing vitamins, because when you're doing it, one of the things that, again, MSG affects the nerves in the body and the neurological damage and parts of the brain that it affects. So by taking the enzyme, which is all laid out in the Manny's Diet and Enzyme Formula, it will help to rebuild the cells that have been damaged so that you can repair that within your body. We have this amazing body that the body's tissue will regenerate itself. And it doesn't need drugs. It needs good old healthy organic food, and it needs the enzymes to rebuild those cells, along with your B vitamins, which will support the nerves. And so it's absolutely, in fact, we found a great vitamin, I don't know if I'd mentioned it before, called VitaForce, which is 100% organic, but there's other organic vitamins out there that absolutely has everything in it that will help rebuild the body.
And I can tell you it works because my wife finally remembers my name.
Yeah, how about that? And Simon, I wanted to say one other thing that's very frightening about the levels of MSG. It gets back to what we started with the show, talking about these barriers, blood-brain barriers and barriers within the body. And in the brain itself, the barrier is if you have any kind of illness that causes any problems or is damage to that blood-brain barrier, the MSG and aspartame will cause even more toxic levels.
Okay, and I want to come back to the other one. You know, the human body has a great ability to recover. We've all seen people recover from the most extraordinary problems, from paralysis after car accidents or whatever. And I believe that any time you give something up, including smoking, because people who quit smoking in their life, as I did when I was younger, their bodies repair themselves quickly over time. I used to have an expression when I was in the legal business that someone who had a long marriage and they went through a tough divorce. It took almost a half a year for every year they were married to get over the emotional problems. I have found in my years of working around the medical industry as a lawyer and among doctors and being in the clinics that people have these type of problems like MSG. There's a number, a half a year for every year they've been on it, a year, whatever it is, like smoking. Anyone who stopped smoking for 10 years will tell you their body changed dramatically. So if people give up MSG tomorrow,
today
or whenever, then the likelihood is that the human body will compensate and start to rid itself of it. But how long or how much is all up to the individual and how much effort they put out. I mean, if you go back to having occasional MSG fast food, then it's going to slow it down. So life handles your health problems in direct proportion to how you try to change your life, whether it's weight, cigarettes, alcohol, and now even MSG and food.
And I did notice a dramatic improvement in my own health when I went off all the chemicals, including down to the spices, because some of the spices do contain MSG, which is...
No, all of them do.
That stunned me. Europe will not buy our spices, which I think I told you the first time we spoke, Simon, I was like this crazed woman when I found that out. Everything went out in the cabinet. I went to Whole Foods and replaced all the spices with organic spices only. And, again, between that and then going through adding enzymes, I mean, it 3 years ago, I was on death row, you know, over in Germany with Farrah Fawcett and a whole group of people getting treatments for an illness that I had that I'm alive today because of the change. I really believe that with the organics and the enzymes and the vitamins, so I can't stress it enough.
Is there a link between MSG and obesity?
Absolutely,
because you're affecting the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus... It attacks the cells in the hypothalamus, and then they found it just attacks more brain cells within that area, and it's all an appetite center. In addition to the fact that anything that affects the liver, which it also affects the liver, your high fructose corn syrup usually goes with this MSG, and anything that's going to attack those areas, you're going to slow your metabolism, and it's going to affect the insulin within your brain. So you have a whole mechanism that happens that the MSG will absolutely cause weight gain.
And for diabetics, it's almost automatic because MSG causes insulin resistance and at the same time leads people into being at least type 2 diabetics by the way it changes your eating habits. And, of course, in conjunction with the high fructose corn syrup, it's even quicker. And I want to give you a simple postscript. We found more than 65 tests that prove that MSG led to obesity. In the last few days, Ashley found a book that's just being released by a doctor who I'd give a plug if I remembered a researcher, his book name. But he claims to have in his book, which we haven't read yet, more than 600 tests and studies.
There's thousands of documents.
I mean, you're talking about 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 pages of tests by 600 different people.
Those relate to GMO.
They also
relate to MSG, right? Because it's all MSG has GMO in it, which is also another thing, and it's never on any American label.
And it's made from GMO corn and soil.
Right, very high pest. So we're not even including in any of these discussions the high level of pesticides and herbicides that are going into people's body, plus a thing called BT toxin, which is a whole different subject.
You know, I say, Simon, about this sometimes that, who gave corporate America, big food, the right to turn our bodies into toxic waste dumps without talking to us, getting our permission, putting it through the voters, and turning us into these addicts for all these chemicals?
And again, you asked about the obesity. The rat studies way back in the 60s, the rats became fat and short and had reproductive problems. And now during the testing, in order to check and test on obesity and run drugs on it, they fatten up the mice first and the rats and the animals, because rats and mice don't ever get fat. They have to fatten them up on MSG in order to do the obesity studies, which is insane to me, while leaving MSG in everybody's food.
Now for the kicker that got me. the rat's testicles turn blue. So for
ouch.
Those of you eating too many fast food burgers, you better look in the mirror.
Go ahead, Simon.
I want to pick on ingredient labels. You can pick up a product, it says no MSG or MSG free. Does that actually mean anything?
It means that they're, look, you can call a brown bear an elephant, but it's still a brown bear. So I don't care what labels they put on it, that you look at the labels, and if it has any of these ingredients we're talking about, it has MSG in it. They're called clean labels. That's the industry expression. They clean up the product by changing the label with a clean label that's clean of any of the offending foods. And the number one offending food they're hiding is MSG. So, no, you can't believe the labels. Why? Because the FDA is populated by former employees of these big food companies who permit them to do this. And the excuse with MSG particularly is, oh, glutamate exists in natural foods like mushrooms and tomatoes, so therefore it's a natural product and it's safe. Well, you know, cocaine leaves are natural products too, but crack cocaine, once it's refined, is hardly natural. So I can say the same thing about glutamate. Yeah, it's natural if you're going to eat mushrooms and stuff. In fact, a lady in England created a new product called Taste Number 5, patterned after Chanel Number 5, and tried to make a combination of mushrooms and all these other things into a form of natural glutamate that's selling in England, which is not a bad idea because guess what? I make one for Ashley.
But it's organic.
It's organic.
And the body can break it down because there's a difference between what they call bound and unbound glutamate. And the unbound glutamate is the dangerous one that they're creating. And the bound one, is that correct, Manny? Am I flipping
the other way around. The bound glutamate is a synthetic one, and the unbound is a natural one, and particularly mushrooms and tomatoes. But the point is that, you know, because someone makes something natural doesn't mean that duplicating it in chemicals is the same thing. And by the way, you know what the industry expression is? Nature identical. That's the same thing they use about the transgenic salmon. Oh, it's nature identical.
And it's synthetic.
Yeah.
It's a they have to add synthetic chemicals, synthetic enzymes to break down this crap because it's unedible. It's not. You can't eat it. You can't break it down. It requires synthetic enzymes and this acid to break it down.
You know, when I was young and read a lot of science fiction books and watched The Twilight Zone and all the shows we all loved, somehow or another, this was called playing God. And that's what they are. They are playing God and deciding what everybody can and should eat. But they're doing it for financial reasons to make themselves billionaires, not because they're interested in the good of our nation.
Now, what's I think a shame for me is Whole Foods is definitely getting my money. The farmer's market is definitely getting my money because I love the taste of the organics. And when I go back now to the old things that I used to eat or try to even stick a fork in it, it's just horrible. I can't eat the little freebies they give away at the stores. And the shame is they're creating these synthetics to make money. If they made organic and left it organic in the packaging, we'd buy that. I mean, that would be, and it would be healthy.
Well, let me offer another observation. We all know people who've quit cigarettes, and most of us at one time or another smoked, and you go back years later and you light up a cigarette and you want to throw up, or you go in a room and there's three people smoking and you have to leave. Well, once I gave up all these MSG products, a year later, I not only couldn't taste them because they tasted horrible to me, I couldn't stand the smell of them. They just drove me nuts. And that is the same thing that happens to people who give up cigarettes. I want to come back for a moment to the FDA. What bothers me bothers me, and I'm going to read you something out of our book because this is out of some recent surveys. There was a 2010 survey conducted earlier this year by the Union of Concerned Scientists, which is a nonprofit partisan advocate group who really exists made up of scientists to protect themselves from these companies and the government. It's so sad that intellectual scientists have to form a group to protect themselves from the onslaught. So they went behind the scenes and they polled all these people in the FDA and the USDA quietly in a confidential poll about all this interference. And basically, more than 1,700 scientists and inspectors responded to the survey. Half of those surveyed said that in the last year they'd experienced, quote, situations where corporate interests have forced the withdrawal or significant modification of an agency policy or action designed to protect consumers or public health, unquote. Those aren't my words. These are the words of the people who work from the FDA. The corporate interests force them to withdraw or change reports.
Or unbiased scientists.
And another 45% said they had experienced similar interference from members of Congress. 54% said the FDA and the USDA gave political interests and Congress too much weight in their decision-making. Now, you can call this and label it anything you want, but the word is interference. So we cannot rely on an agency whose rank-and-file employees, not the management, the rank-and-file employees who do the job every single day, like all of us, are saying they're being interfered with. And I don't include the management because the management is appointed by the president. And if you go find the list of the top 20, 30 people in the FDA and the USDA, and you look at their political connections, who they work for, you'll find they work for companies like Monsanto, DuPont, and other people, and they were rewarded with these positions, but they're also foxes who are hired to work in the hen house, and when their term is up, they will go back to the foxes and get paid more. And it's hard for any of us to have any confidence in a system so racked with political interference, conflict of interest. And like all major corporations, it's the people who do the work every day who are being told to do things they don't want to do, don't believe in, or to change decisions that they know are not right. And I'm sure every person who's listening to the show has experienced this with a corporation they've worked with, and it translates right to our government. It's the same problem.
Oh, okay. I do want to come back to the FDA, but before we do that, I want to talk about the other bad boy. It's basically in about 80% of everything on the Mega Mart shelves, high fructose corn syrup.
That's nice and sweet.
can someone give me an idea of what the hell it is?
It's, again, it's taking corn that is GMO. It's genetically modified, so it's got BT toxin and pesticides and herbicides. It's throwing it into a vat, adding a bunch of chemicals, and making it sweet, or taking the sweetness or creating this, what they call fructose, which is actually a synthetic sugar. And then after they take this mess, they then take it and make this liquid, and they put it into all your food. And it's highly toxic for the liver. The liver cannot break it down. So people will end up with fatty liver, a non-alcoholic fatty liver, and they will gain weight because the body cannot break it down. The metabolic syndrome, that is like the new word for problems with the insulin, is caused by this high fructose syrup. And it's a very highly toxic sugar that is a fake synthetic sugar. But because it comes from nature, which is this, I guess you would call it nature, this corn that's GMO corn that's toxic, then you know, they can call it natural because it comes from a corn. So therefore, you get natural on a label with a lot of synthetics.
And of course, Simon, you recommended the documentary King Corn, which we watched some time ago, which we really appreciate. My favorite scene is the guy sitting out there, and he takes the corn from his own farm, two young men who move back to the Corn Belt, where both of them
are in Iowa.
They're two college kids who found out that their families came from Iowa, went back to Iowa to grow corn. And they pick corn out of their own, GMO corn.
Great pride,
and they take a bite out of it, and they spit it out because it tastes so bad they can't eat it. So they start talking to other farmers in the general area who start saying to them, we can't eat this corn. It's not edible. So they take this corn that nobody can eat, and they cook it up, and they feed it to us. So later in King Corn, if you recall, they decide to try to make their own high-fructose corn syrup in their kitchen. And they found it as disgusting as the taste of the of the corn. So the only way the high fructose corn syrup works is with an equal amount of sugar. So in every one of these packages with high fructose corn syrup, they need sugar to keep it from being too offensive. So if something is so bad and tastes bad, it comes from a product that tastes bad and has to be cooked with synthetic chemicals and synthetic enzymes to turn into a product to put into your Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola, I must tell you, that is not what any of us really want to drink. I mean, it's just not correct.
And to begin, to the very beginning of the product being GMO is bad enough. And as we talked about on the last show, where the damage that it did to the animals in all of the testing of GMO and how it triggers various diseases, it's just so unhealthy. It absolutely damages, as I said, the liver cells. So.
Now, a question for you. It seems to me that this high fructose corn syrup isn't actually billed as a sweetener in the ingredient list. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely
correct.
Right.
Yeah. But recently, the industry applied to the FDA to have its name changed to corn sugar. And Ash and I wondered, if they're going to change the name to corn sugar, are they going to have to list the contents on the label to show sugar and then corn sugar? But it's my belief they can't really do that, because if they do, instead of seeing 58 grams of sugar, you're going to see 58 grams of sugar and then 58 grams of high fructose corn syrup. And anyone can figure out that's 2 ounces of each, and you got 4 ounces in a 12-ounce can of sugar and high fructose corn syrup, which is Pepsi, Coke, and all the various other sweet drinks, including energy drinks. So those of you who think you're drinking energy drinks or health drinks, then you're basically drinking something that's got 4 ounces of sugar and high fructose corn syrup.
Which is GMO,
right.
And you can't break it down in your body.
Which may be okay for a marathon runner, but...
Not even. It's bad for, I mean, dropped up from a heart attack, excuse me.
I agree, but for a couch potato, which I ascribe to that union, and I'm a card-carrying couch potato.
he started that union, I think.
I must admit, I do love to fish, but it's got to be sitting on a chair with a beer in my hand. So even then, I'm a couch potato.
And someone else is holding the pole.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll hold my own pole. I have to do some work, Simon. But the fact is that in a sedentary life, or someone sitting at their desk, having a long day who has a couple of Cokes during the day and then throwing maybe a cup of coffee earlier and a donut, is ingesting enough high fructose corn syrup, MSG, and sugar to basically cause their brain to go awry. But more importantly, it puts weight on everybody. And back to the originals, does this cause obesity? Yeah. Then when you throw 5 different of these toxic chemicals into one brew and stir it up, oh, my goodness. You know, I wondered why I gained 120 pounds after my cancer surgery.
And then you went organic, lost 70 pounds.
Yeah, I'm still losing weight just by avoiding this stuff. And I'm still eating barbecue and, you know, all the rest of the things that all us men love. And the reason is I eat the same foods. I just eat naturally, or ones natural or organic that don't have all the crap in it. So if you like, you know, some kind of soft drink, there are a lot of brands out there. There are a lot of things, local ones you can buy, that don't have all this crap in it. If you switch to it, you can still enjoy what you like, but without all the chemicals in it.
And since so many of these added chemicals, including high fructose corn syrup, interferes with, again, I'm going to go back to the enzymes, interferes with amylase and other enzymes, you need to take those even with the organic to help clear out the body and to get the metabolism and heal the organs.
Yeah. If you buy either one of our books, you'll find the formula in there. It lists everything. It tells you where it comes from, you know, what the product is, why it's natural. And it'll also outline to you how it changed not only our lives but our friends. As I constantly say, my best friend was a diabetic till we got him off MSG and high fructose corn syrup and onto enzymes. And within 8 months, a doctor told me he wasn't a diabetic anymore. And I know other people.
And he lost 30 pounds.
And he lost 30 pounds without trying during that period. So, and I'm sure people have seen some of these tests about the amount of children that are being, that are obese because they're drinking Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. Some of those children consume as much as 44 pounds of sugar and as much as 66 pounds of high fructose corn syrup per year. That's 100 pounds of junk just from sodas. That doesn't include the table sugar, doesn't include the sugar in the cakes or desserts they
eat. Hidden sugar, maltodextrose, and all the other hidden sugars.
Well, we're staying right now with the two
corn
big
syrup,
ones.
Right.
So if you eat all these canned foods, packaged foods, I mean, even your cereals like Kellogg's cereal has high fructose corn syrup in it. So at the end of the day, you know, you take a look at some of these numbers, and the 44 pounds probably becomes 80, and the 60-some pounds of high fructose corn syrup, 100. So here we are with people who are eating as much as 10 to 15 pounds a month. So, and we're talking about simple things. How about Nabisco Oreo cookie crumbs? How about shake-and-bake stuff, a stovetop, all these things? And A&W root beers among the drinks, all of them, orange drinks, almost any Tropicana drinks, the orange spray cranberry juice, all of them have high amounts of high fructose corn syrup.
Made with GMO corn.
Yeah.
You're getting pesticides, you're getting herbicides. Oh, and of course they use water. Where is this water coming from? We have no idea, but it's going into all your drinks.
Well, I want to come back to the list, honey.
Okay.
This is important if there are any parents listening. This is where you can find high fructose corn syrup. Kellogg's Frosted Rice Krispies, Kellogg's Corn Flakes, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. It's frosted with high fructose corn syrup. Kellogg's All Brand, which we all thought was so healthy, that's high fructose corn syrup. Kellogg's Apple Jacks, Kellogg's Cinnamon Crunch, Cocoa Krispies, and about 10 other ones. Mini wheats. I mean, mini wheats we thought were healthy. You're eating wheat, right? Well, you're eating GMO wheat with high fructose corn syrup on it. Breads like Wonder Bread. Simple Wonder Bread has to have high fructose corn syrup. How about 100% earth grain, natural seven-grain breads? They all have high fructose corn syrup. McKenzie Farms. I have a list of 20 other Kellogg's meals that are primarily sold for children that are full of high fructose corn syrup. Simple things. When you put ketchup on your child's french fries, that's high fructose corn syrup. Heinz 57 sauce, Hunt's ketchup. You've got all these other ones. You look at them, candy bars. A Hershey's Symphony, a Hershey's regular chocolate bar, the Sklore candy bar, they all, special dark candy bars, they all have high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, the one that gets me, though, is the Cantadina. The Cantadina.
Well, how about Lifesavers?
Oh.
Your Lifesavers gum are all full of high fructose corn syrup. And, yes, Cantadina, you take a little six-ounce can, has a significant amount of high fructose corn syrup in it.
MSG, artificial coloring, it's synthetic ester. So, and because they don't have to list the 200-plus chemicals that go into the esters, there's no telling what the list actually is.
Well, yeah, and let's come back to Kellogg's for a moment. All these people who are letting the children have Pop-Tarts for breakfast because they have fruit in them, well, they're synthetic. They have no fruit. All the flavors are synthetic, and it's basically high fructose corn syrup with chemical flavoring. And every former Pop-Tart has them, all the Nabisco Fig Newtons, Chips Ahoy, Lorna Doones, you know, Malamars, Oreos, Snackwells, Graham crackers, all of them have high fructose corn syrup. As you saw a friend at Whole Foods, I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Sorry, Trader Joe's.
Or Trader Joe's, who complained that she hadn't had a graham cracker in years and bought some graham crackers, and they made her sick. They were just awful tasting.
She said, what happened to graham crackers? And I said, well, you know, they're putting MSG in it to trick your brain into thinking this food, which is GMO, that tastes horrible, is actually going to taste good. And then they throw some sugar in it of a high corn fructose corn syrup, and it's not the same cracker.
So let's move on to the next one. All these Nutri-Grain products we thought were so healthy, muffin bars, banana muffin bars, energy bars, all of them have high fructose corn syrup, and MSG for that matter. So now the one that really bothers me. If you're giving your child NyQuil or Vicks Formula 44 or some of the children's ones, then it's got high fructose corn syrup in it. In fact, Benadryl has sugar in it. Why they put sugar in Benadryl, I don't know. crackers. You like to give your children crackers? Simple Ritz Bits, Ritz crackers, Ritz chips, Nabisco wheat thins. All are high in high fructose corn syrup. All of them.
Yes.
Go ahead, Simon. I could go on for an hour with these left.
I know.
I haven't even got to dairy. The dairy is horrendous.
All right, I have to ask the obvious question. What is the attraction of high fructose corn syrup to the food industry?
There's two issues. Number one, it's cheap. Because of the subsidy issues and the manufacture of corn, the U.S. is producing more corn than everyone can eat, and the ability to make corn required them to find a market for all this leftover corn, and then when Europe wouldn't accept it and they couldn't export it to
the GMO
or the genetically modified BT corn, which, by the way, is modified with a poison so it kills plants that eat it.
Kills bugs that eat it.
So it contains a poison. They had to find a market for it. And someone found out in the early 70s that they turned it into this sweetener they could use in liquid groups, and that's what prompted them to do it. And the other one is corporate America is a business. They want consistency. Instead of using fresh bananas, they use esters. Why? Because they might have to buy bananas from somebody else, and the banana crop
might be
low, if not anywhere, honey.
Yeah.
And they might have to bid against a competitor. A banana cost may go up. The banana crop may be not what they want. So what they do is they create these synthetic flavors for consistency. And the high fructose corn syrup stopped them from buying sugar from Hawaii and in the Caribbean countries where the prices could go one way or another. So they had absolute control over the flavor and absolute control over the sugar that went in, and that control mattered. So much so, the Ben & Jerry's, a wonderful product, when Ben & Jerry's sold out to a large corporation, which I think was Unilever or Cargill, they took out all the natural products and went to high fructose corn syrup and the synthetic flavoring. So Ben & Jerry's is no longer an organic ice cream. Neither is Dreyer's, for example. So, and neither is Haagen-Dazs was purchased. So
that one really upset him.
Yeah, it is, because
you should forget it. It's not coming in the house.
one day, Haagen-Dazs started making me sick, and I couldn't understand why. I liked Haagen-Dazs because it was made from natural honey and was the least effective and dangerous of all ice creams. A friend of mine said to me one day, "What is with Haagen-Dazs? I eat it. It makes me sick now." And I said, "Well, that's because it's no longer natural. They're putting high fructose corn syrup in it." So they bought up all these wonderful little small companies and made all these wonderful natural foods that Americans loved, and they changed it so it would be consistent, a big money maker, and now you're eating garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably over-answered your question.
Go ahead, Simon. What?
Well, actually, what I wanted to ask you for is a shameless commercial. Where can people find your books?
Oh, the books you can buy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you can buy them directly on our site, howtoeliminatepain.com. And also, for listeners who want more information about these products, we have blogs on our website, howtoeliminatepain.com, and they can read more about the high fructose corn syrup, corn, as well as MSG and the other additives. And there's lots of valuable information there. But the book's available online. You get it in 2 or 3 days. And if you buy it from us, then we make a $5 donation to the New Orleans Heritage Society of Louisiana, or the Cultural Heritage Society of Louisiana, that helps both Kendra and Joanna's various acts of donating food and other things for people who really need them.
A lot of the fishermen who are still unemployed and are sick, and for those listeners who haven't heard, and their families and children have no food and need clothing and food, and so $5 donations going off of the books off our site.
You know,
because we don't have a control on the other sites, like the Amazon and the Barnes & Noble, so we won't know.
Yeah. And on a more personal note, while Ashley was ill, I stopped working for 3 years of my life to research and to write these books about why we were dying. And anyone who buys and takes a look at these various books while Ashley's doing it and the time we all spent doing it, will look at it and understand that this came from our heartfelt research, from Ashley's tremendous effort in research and writing about these individual items, and that we gave all these formulas in our book open for everybody to use without any payment, nor did we patent them, nor do we manufacture any vitamin, mineral, or anything else. We have done this so people across this country can improve their health. And this investment in this book can turn your health around and save you hundreds of dollars in medical costs and other health problems and give your children a much better life. And you can't follow it 100%, but every 10 to 20% of the advice in our book that you follow, you will get a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% improvement in your health. And we believe strongly, based upon all of our friends who looked at our health improvement, went, oh, my God, if it can happen to you, it can happen to us. And anyone who's known us for a while and seen this difficult journey we walked on has made their health better. And we hope by donating our theories and our years of effort into writing these books,
it's over 3,600. Over 3,600 references, and in addition to my nursing background and Manny's legal background, and it's, you know, it took a lot of energy to, and what was really hard for me is being a nurse, knowing that I took an oath when I became a nurse to make sure people don't ever get into harm's way, and if you see it, you stop it. And this also was an impulse to create these books, because Manny went from a wheelchair to being up and going and losing weight, and being and I'm up and out and doing, and hopefully to stop other people from being on a sick, nonstop path of sickness and clean up their future.
If we can save one person from walking down this terrible road that I've walked down for 13 years and Ashley a lesser amount of time, then we will consider this a victory. And if we can help one person in the Gulf lead a safer, better life and help their children's life improve, then we will consider this a victory for everyone. And we hope all of you that even if you don't read our books, take our advice to heart and do your own research, come to your own conclusions, because I can assure you if you look at half of what we've read, it will horrify you and you will come to the same conclusions. And we're going to be back to you, Simon, but before we leave, I want to talk to you about your trips to the market.
Oh, okay, but before we go there, I want to give a little shout out to a friend of mine, Rick the Poet Warrior. I noticed that he has just logged on, and he's horrified, and he wants to know, you know, would it be safer to eat dirt?
Do you know something? Probably, unless it's from Chernobyl.
Or Be Popol, where the guar gum's coming from, you know?
you know, when you're younger, your parents just say, I ought to put tape across your mouth. Well, Americans would be healthier if they had tape across their mouth than they are eating commercials.
Oh, yeah. They have to eat organic. It's eating organic. The organic foods are good.
You know, Simon and I had a conversation during the week, and I was kidding him about the book, saying, well, now that you read both books, are you horrified when you walk around a market? And, of course, he said yes, and we joked about how Simon feels that he can only walk around the outside aisles because the deeper you get in the middle of the market, the more dangerous it is. But Simon pointed out something very, very important. In some areas of our country, there aren't necessarily Whole Foods or organic stores. There aren't necessarily farmers markets. They're not easy to get to. But after my conversation, I talked to someone in Oklahoma, and I asked, and he started talking about our books because he was in the media business, and he said to me, you know, I've done some of this. He said, we don't have any of those stores near us. So we suddenly found there were some local farmers, and there were meat places, and he told me how they were buying real meat from local cattle ranches instead of buying them in the stores, and they would get up, every couple of weeks and go visit them, and these people were quite proud and happy to display their meat. And Ashley reminded Ash and I how before all these stores, we would hop in the car on a Saturday or Sunday morning and drive out to an area called Camarillo, which is just west and north of Los Angeles on the way to Ventura and Santa Barbara. And we would drive around these farms, and we would walk through their little, you know, store-side places and buy all their fruits and vegetables and have sort of a, you know, husband and wife little morning out to improve our health. And I think that if all of you open your eyes and look around you, there are things in front of you you can do and you can buy, including some of this stuff on the Internet that will help you find the kinds of foods that you would prefer. And as I point out, once you start eating organic food or any of this food from a farmer's a ranch or meat from a real cattle ranch, you'll go, oh, my God, I've been eating junk for years, because the taste is so different than anyone who comes over to our house and has lunch or dinner to say hello goes, oh, my God, the food tastes incredible. And the only difference between the food I prepare now and 8 and 10 years ago, and Ashley also prepares, is the difference in our ingredients. And the moral of our books is you can eat the same food you love. Just make sure you know what's in it. And if you protect the ingredients and the food that you cook with and you eat, you can enjoy your food more than you have in the last 20 years.
I have a couple of questions coming in from the chat room. And I know nothing about these, but someone's asking, please ask about mercury in high fructose corn syrup.
Several things. I think there's several reasons for this, and I think the scientific data we saw, Manny, was also because the GMO corn, the water that they're using on the plants, plus the water they use in the vats, they have mercury that gets into the high fructose corn syrup as they are making it. And one of the previous shows I had spoken about doing chlorella. And chlorella is a supplement, and again, you need the organic substance because it has to be this broken wall, and there's a whole specific thing that goes with chlorella. Chlorella will remove the mercury from the body, and if you're eating fish or anything with a high fructose corn syrup, which you shouldn't because, again, the liver can't break it down, but you really should be taking chlorella to start clearing out the toxins from the body.
And I have a couple observations for you, too. A variety of states, including Louisiana, Florida, Nevada, the Carolinas, and Georgia, have had huge amounts of problem with mercury. There was a survey from August 19th by the U.S. Geological Survey of 300 streams across the U.S. in those states and other places, and basically it said no fish can escape mercury pollution, so any kind of fish also has it. And basically, they're saying that almost every type of canned and other items you have has some type of problem with mercury. When it comes to the high fructose corn syrup, there was a survey last year in 2009 in the Environmental Health magazine that found 9 of 20 commercial samples of high fructose corn syrup contained detectable levels of mercury, and that's dangerous. So they're saying the mercury comes from the water from the streams and lakes that are contaminated. Because, again, they boil the corn in a form of water and they add chemicals to do it. So when they boil the corn to extract it to make the high fructose corn syrup and it turns into a dry powder, mercury becomes part of that process. And that's why there's so much mercury.
And mercury will damage the kidneys. But, again, it's knowing this. And knowing that the body can heal itself, because your body is just miraculous how it will heal itself. But making sure you take the supplements, again, of the enzymes, and taking the chlorella, I've now added that to, thank you, Simon, I've now added that back into my diet.
Yeah, in fact, the lead author of that study made a comment that it's intriguing that the possibility that sugar and the other chemicals in high fructose corn syrup are harmful, but the mercury itself is harmful and causes kidney problems. Also, what it does is it interferes with your heart's ability to use magnesium, copper, chromium, and other vital elements of trace minerals that are necessary to stop anemia, bone loss, cavities, osteoarthritis, other health problems. So the mercury and all these chromium, all these other things that come together in all this polluted water they use adds to the problem that the mercury does.
And again, I think one of the previous shows we talked about arsenic. Arsenic is also a problem with water. I have not seen any tests with them saying, have we tested the high fructose corn syrup for arsenic? But they should. I think so.
Well,
so spirulina is the other supplement, spirulina, for removing arsenic from the body.
Actually, the reason there are no tests is because the FDA and the USDA refuse to do tests for that. I hope we've answered the question.
I hope so, too. Did we answer it?
Oh, yes, you did. And we're getting pretty close to going off air.
You're tired of us already?
Was there another question, Simon? I'll talk faster.
You guys just know how to talk. But I want to say this. I was researching for this particular program, and I went and ransacked my kitchen. I was looking for the product with the most outlandish ingredient list.
But that was easy, right?
No. Actually, I found two. But they were outlandish for different reasons. I found an instant pork gravy mix, which incidentally I really enjoy. Yeah, it tastes great. I mean, it won hands down for the unpronounceable chemicals and the ever-popular natural flavoring, you know, whatever that might be.
So you have 200 or more ingredients you don't know about.
Right. But at the other end of the scale was a product that I just out and out did not believe. It was a bag of frozen French cut green beans.
Oh.
And I got it from a large grocery chain. Well, they're large in the Gulf region. They're very well known. And I was looking for the infamous ingredient list and couldn't find it. And then finally I located it, and it said ingredients, green beans.
Hmm.
And I find that hard to believe because...
Because the likelihood is that it's still a GMO product, because if it doesn't say organic, then the probability is that you're still dealing with pesticides and herbicides, which just are not listed.
Well, no, honey. The issue is they looked at the list of things they were required to disclose by the FDA and the USDA. They chose to use chemicals in that can that they were not compelled to list on the can, which is a very clever and simple way to do that.
It was frozen.
That's even worse, because it's virtually impossible to freeze any kind of a product and ship it in this country without having some form of preservative. And that's one of the reasons they put MSG in there, because people forget that the sodium element of MSG is also the preservative, like table salt is.
But it's a mystery. It's a mystery. I would look at that package and do what you're doing, Simon. It's a mystery. What is in it? You know, I wouldn't buy it based on the fact that, you know, it's not organic.
We like to call those mystery foods.
Right. Flip a coin. How sick do I want to be, you know? Which organ do I want to damage? The brain today. Okay.
I suspect if you could take a series of carefully selected cans and send them to a lab and have them completely analyzed, we would all be shocked to see what's really in those cans.
Mercury and arsenic and the things we're talking about.
Well, I mean, beyond the obvious. I mean, you know, for all we know, my missing tire is in there. We just don't know.
You know,
I think the real problem with that idea is finding a lab that would be willing to take the project on.
Yeah.
That's true. But, you know, I have to ask, does Jimmy Hoffa and Pieces have, is he required to be on the label? Because that maybe would happen to Jimmy Hoffa. Maybe, you know, it's like the Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. Maybe Jimmy Hoffa end up in a bunch of cans of cheap chili. I don't know.
Okay. Our time absolutely is at the end. My automated producer is going, okay, time to go, time to go.
Simon, thank you. And thank you to the listeners.
And thank you, and our best wishes to everybody in the Gulf.
Wishing everybody really good health.
And hopefully we can do this again next weekend.
Oh, I would love it, Simon.
Okay. Let's talk again soon.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.